At least we can say TGIF. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. It is Friday, but that may not be enough to change the mood of investors. Today and Monday are the last trading days left in June, and Wall Street is ready to move on. It hasn't seen such a negative June since 1930. The Dow is down more than 9% for the month. Yesterday, stocks fell to their lowest point of the year. Overnight, Asian markets saw a sell-off, with the main index in China down more than 5%. Japan finished 2% lower, same thing for South Korea. So far, the losses in Europe have been a little more modest. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
French and German stock markets fell by 1% in early trading. London fared marginally better, but only because it had lost more than 2.5% yesterday. Bank shares were among the worst performers. Fears are growing that the credit crunch is far from over. David Buick of BGC Group says the whole market has been hit by an apparently endless stream of bad tidings.
Whether it's inflation, oil price at $140 a barrel, corporate earnings dropping, growth dropping, when are we going to hear some good news?
Not anytime soon, according to the investment bank Barclays Capital. It says the Fed has lost all credibility and has let the inflation genie out of the bottle. Barclays advises clients to batten down the hatches for a worldwide financial storm. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
There is some positive news this morning. Personal spending was up more than expected for May. The government says the rise of 0.8% is thanks to the boost household budgets got from economic stimulus checks. The checks sent after-tax incomes up by the largest amount in 33 years. The question is whether that data will be enough to balance new worries about oil prices. Oil hit a new record today, above $142 a barrel. The Dow lost 3% yesterday, down 358 points to 11,453. The Nasdaq dropped more than 3%, down 79 points. For the S&P 500, it was a loss of nearly 3%. The S&P fell 38 to 1283. The Mississippi River continues to threaten homes and businesses in the Midwest. The weather forecast calls for more heavy rains, and that could cause a second round of flooding. While the waters have yet to recede, many are already thinking about reconstruction. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
The American Red Cross offers more than emergency relief. Spokesperson Laura Howe says the organization helps flood victims identify recovery services.
If you've never been a disaster victim before and you've never really had to ask anyone for help, you don't know where to go to get it.
For the states, the challenge isn't finding services, but a way to pay for them.
They don't really have the resources available to help them dig their way out of this problem.
That's Jared Bernstein with the Economic Policy Institute. He says states in the Midwest were having trouble balancing their budgets before the floods. Now they're looking at massive infrastructure repairs.
Road repairs, the hospitals, the playgrounds, the schools. That's where you see state budgets already pinched before this stuff even hit. And I think that's where federal relief will be the most important.
Bernstein estimates that flood damage will run into the billions. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Instead of filler up, a dental staff in Washington State is saying, giddy up. Dr. Keith Leonard and more than half his staff traded their cars for saddles this week. They got special permits to ride their horses to work.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, working to reduce heart disease, the number one killer of American women, by supporting Women Heart. Information at womenheart.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
Hopefully the weekend will allow you some time to relax and forget, at least for a bit, about a lot of the tough news we're dealing with right now. You can always get a two-hour respite at the movies. Despite the slowing economy, Hollywood is still betting on a money-making summer. We're about halfway through the season, and Variety's Stuart Levine joins us now to look at the winners and the losers and what's ahead. All right, Stu, let's start with the winners so far.
the big surprise, I'd say, for summer is Iron Man. I mean, Indiana Jones might not overtake it. Iron Man might be the biggest movie of summer, which if you had said at the beginning of the summer Iron Man would be number one and would defeat Indiana Jones, you would get very few believers at that, but it turns out to be the case.
I did go out to see that, but I have to say, opening up the paper last weekend, not very compelled to see anything that was on the list. What's the rest of the summer looking like?
Well, we have this weekend is actually really interesting. You have the two big W's going against each other. You have WALL-E, which is the Pixar film, and Pixar films traditionally do huge. And then you have Wanted, which is an Angelina Jolie action movie. There's been a really good word of mouth on that. So that could be two movies that could both do well in the same weekend. So you have that. You have Dark Knight coming out, the new Batman movie, which could be really good. People want to see Heath Ledger's last performance. You also have Hancock, the Will Smith movie. So still have a lot of good legs left for summer.
What's your prediction for the way the summer movie season will end?
I think it's going to be up. I mean, there's been a lot of films that people thought would not do as well as they did. I would say the big summer hits so far have been, we talked about Iron Man, but certainly Sex and the City. Incredible Hulk, the first one was kind of a disaster. You know, that one's already done over $100 million. I mean, those are some of the smaller hits. The duds so far have been, I would say, Speed Racer for Warner Brothers. And Love Guru was a disaster. And the other disappointment, and it's hard to classify it, you know, for layman's terms as $136 million is a disappointment, but Chronicles of Narnia, the first one did nearly $300 million. Sequels of that magnitude usually do better the second time around. This did $136 so far. So that's a big disappointment. Looking back, the people at Disney said they should never have put it out in May when you had competition like, you know, Iron Man and Indiana Jones and Sex and the City. They said it was a really bad place for it.
It just couldn't fight.
And it couldn't just
spot.
Fit in that area. It came out as a holiday film last time. I think that would have been a better place for it.
Stu Levine is managing editor at Variety. So nice to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Whether it's the movies or something else, have a great weekend. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.